Welcome to Ask Peggy About Your Finances, because prosperity is so much more than money. Brought to you by writer, speaker, and certified financial planner, Peggy Dobiak.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Hello, and welcome to the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. My name is Peggy Dobiak, and I'm a certified financial planner practitioner and a personal finance author. This is a show to help you understand your money, and I've got some great topics today. We're going to talk about rare earth minerals and a potential deal between the United States and Australia. We're going to look at tech-related schemes, and this was kind of scary even to me, so you'll want to stay tuned for that episode. In the Plan Your Prosperity section, we're going to talk about disability insurance, because this is open enrollment at your employer. And then finally, in the Ask Peggy, we're going to talk about what kind of income can you use to fund an IRA, and what kind of income can you not use? So let's get started with the Bulls and Bears Market and Economic Update. This is for the week ending October 20th, 2025. The market continues to be on a tear, with the Dow up a little over 1.5%, the S&P 500 up a little less than 1.75%, and the NASDAQ up a little more than 2%. Gold was the big winner, up 5.75%, and oil, West Texas Intermediate Crude front month price, dropped by just a little over 1%. The price per barrel right now is $57.64. The dollar index went down about 0.5%, and the 10-year Treasury yield dropped 2.2%. That current yield is 4.014%. The aggregate bond fund went up a little over 0.5%, again, acting the opposite direction that the 10-year Treasury yield does. Bitcoin was down 5.38%, and the volatility index, the VIX, was down 4.06%. So that is a bit of very good news in, again, yet another turbulent week. But what I thought we'd talk about today in the stock section, because there's so many things going on and so much uncertainty, that I thought we'd all learn a little something today. And I want to talk about the fact that the president and the prime minister of Australia are going to meet about rare earth minerals. But I thought we'd start with a little bit of a lesson about what they are. Maybe you know what rare earth minerals are, but I don't. I mean, I do, in that I know they use them for stuff. And I know that they're hard to get. They're not rare is kind of a misnomer, but still, the United States doesn't really have very many of them. So it's 17 elements. Think back to your chemistry table that was on the wall with all those little periodic images and abbreviations. 17 of those things, including 15 silvery white metals called lanthanides or lanthanoids, plus scandium and yttrium. So we're not going to list them all out. What I'm going to say is most of them are silvery white, and then there's a couple of more. But here's what's interesting. We're using them in everything. So they're used in consumer electronics, electric vehicles, aircraft engines, medical equipment, oil refinery, and military applications like missiles and radar systems. So these are very, very important because they're silvery white. Now, don't take this to the bank, but I think that they're probably very good at conducting, probably in small amounts, because this is a new technology, and I know it's related to the microization of things. So somehow these rare earth minerals are letting us make things happen in much smaller spaces. And that's why they're so critical and so important to have access to. Now, they're not actually rare per se. Some of them are more common actually in nature than lead. But here's the problem. They tend to get spread thin over the Earth's crust, very small quantities, and then they mix together easily with other minerals, I'm assuming because the layer is so thin. And so it's really hard to find a larger deposit. The minute it gets mixed up, it's almost impossible to separate out those minerals. And they are very, very common in China. China has accounted for 60% of the global mine production and 90% of processed and permanent magnet output. So here's what matters about this. What matters is we use them in everything. They're really important somehow. Can you tell? I am not an engineer. I do a lot of things, but engineering isn't one of them. And China has lots and lots of them. Now, if you'll remember, Donald Trump had a considerably pointed message to China when they said that they were going to control who they provide the rare earth minerals to. And he clapped back with the 100% tariff on additional tariff on products coming out of China. We need those rare earth minerals a lot. If China is going to limit our access to them, the president believes that the way to fix that is to increase the tariffs. So in addition to that, apparently the minerals are relatively common in Australia. And so far we haven't had quite the same issues with Australia as we have with China right now. So the Australian Prime Minister, Anthony Albanese, is expected to meet U.S. President Donald Trump on Monday. So we're going to talk about the supply chain of rare earth minerals. I very much hope that this goes well. There's a lot of reasons why a great relationship is important between the United States and Australia. They are very much a democracy. They are very much like us. It would be nice to be able to use a little leverage against China rather than just simply doing the tariffs that end up hurting the United States more than they're actually hurting China. So we need the minerals. We need to do things in a slightly more diplomatic way. I am very hopeful about this. I will report back if there's anything interesting. Otherwise, understand that we are looking for other sources of of rare earth minerals for the United States, specifically looking at Australia. And, you know, if I mispronounced anything in this segment, please forgive me. I just wanted to explain why these things matter. I didn't know anything really before I started. I don't know a lot now, but hopefully you know a little bit more than you did before I started the segment.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance.
Hi, this is Peggy Doviak of DM Wealth Management, and we've been working with the residents of Norman for over 20 years as we help them solve questions about their cash flow, retirement savings, or tax planning. We also offer portfolio management solutions to help people meet their financial goals. We would love to help you plan your prosperity. Check us out at dmwealth.com.
Welcome back to the legislative update of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And actually, this is more of a discussion about what regulators have discovered rather than talking about any new legislation or proposed legislation. But I think it's very, very important. And I want to start, we could have called this section, Don't Believe Anything Without Doing Your Own Research, because this is talking about digital fraud and how widespread and how really sophisticated digital fraud has become. Digital fraud is things that happen over the internet. So it could be the old Nigerian prince promising you $10 million, but it's gotten a lot scarier than that. It's gotten a lot more complicated than that. And they're very specifically related to investments. And that's why I wanted to spend a little time today talking about it. So there's lots of investor threats right now that are including digital assets. Digital assets are things like Bitcoin. Okay, so it is the non-normal American dollar or foreign currency assets. These are all the things that live on the internet. Now, really important for me to stress, I am not saying that legitimate cryptocurrency is a fraud. Okay, there's a lot of people with a lot of opinions about that. I'm talking about situations where you think you've bought something that you actually haven't received, or you think something is behaving in a way that it isn't. So this is not a conversation about whether or not cryptocurrency is a good thing. Okay, this is a conversation about fraud that people are perpetrating using digital currency basically as the bait to attract people. And I have to say, I have had a lot of questions about different cryptocurrencies, specifically Bitcoin recently. More and more people are wanting to get into the action with that. I am not advocating that you do so, but I am going to say if you're going to do it, use a legitimate platform, do a whole lot of research to determine what that platform would be, or opt with a publicly traded exchange traded fund, or potentially a mutual fund that buys and sells on the open market that doesn't involve having to get onto a crypto platform. But what's happening is people are creating scams where investors are thinking that they're making purchases that they really aren't. So, you know, it used to be the Nigerian prince on your email. Now it is much more likely to come through something like Facebook, Twitter, and WhatsApp. And there's nothing wrong with these platforms either, but you just have to be really careful that you know who you're talking to. No surprise in this, they're prioritizing picking on older investors. And as a result, state securities regulators are also prioritizing trying to take care of them. In 2024, the regulators received 3,613 complaints of alleged financial misconduct targeting older investments, leading to 1,600 rounded investigations, 53 enforcement actions impacting 676 senior victims. So what are they doing? Well, there's one thing, and they use the term, and it's kind of a play on other investment terms. It's called pig butchering. And what happens in a pig butchering scam is you are befriended by the person over a considerable period of time. Some of the things that I have read have said you can even like make an investment. It looks like it's doing all right. You know, small investment. So maybe you even get some money back. But what they're doing is they are fattening you up for the actual slaughter where they take the money and there isn't actually an investment. And then the person who has gotten caught in the fraud is in a real mess. So, you know, the important thing, although the term pig butchering, like I said, it plays on some old stock sayings, but just be really careful if you make a new online friend. And I understand it's so complicated because there are so many online dating apps and things like that. But you really want to check people out. You know, in Oklahoma, you can run people through the Oklahoma Supreme Court network to see if they've been charged with anything. always a useful thing to do. But you really need to do your due diligence. And then you need to look at the kind of communication that's coming from them. And does it seem like it always comes back to digital currency one way or the other? You just have to be super, super careful. Now, here's what I found really scary. And honestly, what I would say is working with a face-to-face human being who is a certified financial planner, who is a fiduciary, may be the only solution to what they've done. So by using AI and by using all kinds of what was the word that I was looking for? Blockchain technology. Blockchain technology shows you how the buys and the sells and the building and the growth and the location and all kinds of things about cryptocurrency. Blockchain analysis is a really good way. It's supposed to be what keeps cryptocurrency valid and accurate. And you can look at the blockchain and you know where things go, supposedly. So it's supposed to be, if you like crypto, blockchain is supposed to be a thing to help keep you safe. But now they're using artificial intelligence and creating fake blockchains. So I have no idea how the average uninformed investor is supposed to deal with that. My solution is don't deal with that. And just simply don't buy crypto in that way. Don't buy crypto from a friend you don't know, from a non-professional. You've got to be really, really careful with this. Because now that AI is as good as it is, we can't necessarily trust what we see. Now, some of it, I mean, yeah, they still have like six fingers on people and stuff like that. But, you know, an older person who doesn't really know what blockchain looks like would be very easy to scam. And it looks impressive, right? Because they hand you this whole book of data and it's all fake. So don't just be thinking about the older people you know for this section. Be careful yourself. And again, really, really, really vet your sources of your information. This is a big deal and it's pretty scary. And the only way we'll get a hold of it is by making sure people are working with reputable sources.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 and Norman for production and studio assistance. Hi, this is Peggy Doviak of DM Wealth Management. And we've been working with the residents of Norman for over 20 years as we help them solve questions about their cash flow, retirement savings, or tax planning. We also offer portfolio management solutions to help people meet their financial goals. We would love to help you plan your prosperity. Check us out at dmwealth.com.
Welcome back to the Plan Your Prosperity segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And today I want to talk about the importance of disability insurance and give you a couple of tips if you're enrolling through your company's benefit plan. The first important thing to know is during your working career, you are much more likely to become disabled than you are to die. So that you're more likely to have time off from work where you can't work because you've gotten hurt somehow than you are to actually die on the job. Now, I'm not saying that life insurance isn't important. It's absolutely important because without it, the results to your friends and family and loved ones can be devastating. But you've got to also at least consider disability insurance. Disability comes in two separate forms. There's short-term disability and long-term disability. They kind of are what they sound like. So short-term disability covers shorter periods of time. Long-term disability would cover you until you reached full retirement age. Once you are at full retirement age, disability insurance goes away because at that point, your other assets take over and you have access to your Social Security and to your retirement account. So you don't stay on disability for life in any case. You just stay on it through your working career. Now, here is something important to know before I tell you the thing I really want you to listen to. So the first thing you need to know is your disability insurance is not going to replace your salary. It's going to be about 60% of your salary in most cases. So as you're looking at disability insurance, you ought to look at the level of coverage it provides. And if it's more than 60% of your salary, that's a really great thing. Now, here's the big important thing, and then we're going to talk about other things around disability that you need to know. If your employer pays for your disability premiums, those benefits, if God forbid you should need them, are subject to income tax. If you pay the premiums, even through a cafeteria plan at your work, then you receive the benefits income tax free. So it's like, oh, wow, great. Look, I'm going to save, because often disability insurance isn't terrifically expensive. I'm going to save a little money here. But if you actually need the benefit, that money you save by letting the employer pay for it is going to very rapidly evaporate, because now you get the 60% of your salary gross, and then they take taxes out of it. Most of us can't live on less than half of our salaries, and yet that's what you wind up with if you don't pay your own disability insurance premiums. So just remember that, very important, now that it's open enrollment, if you have the option of paying for that disability out of your own pocket, I mean, talk to your financial team, always talk to your financial team, but really think about paying the premium, because it will really help you if you end up needing to take benefits. There are different kinds of disability insurance. There is own occupation. So that's insurance that pays if you cannot do your own occupation. So if you're a surgeon, you have to be able to still be a surgeon. There's a modified occupation insurance that will not pay unless you can't do a version of what you were doing before. So if you're a surgeon, and if now you can be a doctor, that insurance isn't going to pay off. The worst kind of disability insurance is any occupation disability insurance. Any occupation means that even if you were a surgeon and you have a surgeon's lifestyle and bills, if you can be a greeter in a big box store, then you are able to work and you are not eligible for benefits. So any occupation disability insurance can be a real shock to the system when people thought they had a benefit and it ends up that they don't. Now, here's the other really important thing you need to hear. Social Security disability is any occupation coverage. So there's a couple of overarching medical conditions that will throw you onto Social Security disability by default. But most of the time, if you can work at all at any job making minimum wage, Social Security disability will not pay for you. So for the people who are out there saying, oh, I don't need to buy my own policy because I've got Social Security disability and I won't have to mess with it. Yeah, but think about what that'll do to your cash flow. Realize too, if you have suffered a disability, you probably have higher bills right now than average, as you've got more medical stuff that you may have a copay on, as maybe you have to get medical supplies into the house, or maybe you actually have to modify the house so you can live there. For most people, Social Security disability is a decent sized check, but it isn't enough to live easily on. And so now we get into the whole crisis of poverty and the disabled and why that's such a real monster right now in our country. And, you know, I don't have a solution, but I do know it's a monster in our country right now. So as you're looking to buy a disability policy, decide what you can live with, decide what you can qualify for, because not everybody can qualify for the own occupation policy. So just be aware of it. Ask a whole lot of questions of the person selling you the policy. Start with a cash flow. Decide what would you need for your family or you to be okay. That can be the first decision-making process that you have, deciding whether or not you need disability insurance. But I'll tell you what, I've seen catastrophe hit, and the people who had the disability insurance had many fewer crises than the people who didn't.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
Welcome back to the Ask Peggy segment of the Ask Peggy About Your Finances show. And I had a great question this week that I think a lot of people don't know the answer to. And that is, Peggy, can I use my Social Security check to pay for my IRA? And so that leads to the broader question of, Peggy, what money can be used to fund an IRA? So I want to begin by giving you a financial term that is fungible. And fungible means that once money hits your bank, then that money does not continue to have its characteristics. So if you have money from a Social Security check, you put it in the bank, it no longer really is Social Security money, it's just money. So here's the trick. In order to fund an IRA, you must have earned income. Social Security is not earned income. Your retirement check is not earned income, and neither is your pension. Child support is not earned income, and alimony is only earned income if you got divorced prior to when they made it taxable to the payer and not the recipient. So the money that you can use, the source of the money that you can use to fund an IRA is money that was taxable, money from earnings. So maybe this year you made $20,000 at a job and then you got your Social Security money and maybe a little something, dividends and interest. Okay, can you, after you put your Social Security check in the bank, can you fund an IRA? Well, of course you can because you have $20,000 of earned income. It doesn't matter what cash you actually fund it with. So if you want to wait until later in the month and you get your Social Security check and then you put it in using that cash, that doesn't matter at all. The trick is you have to go back to the beginning and make sure you earned enough to have enough earned income, that $20,000 or whatever you make from your job. Just usually what happens is people make a little bit less as they're in retirement from earned income, and they make more money from retirement money. So a 401k distribution cannot be used. A pension cannot be used. Your Social Security, none of that counts. But if you have the earned income, so maybe you made $10,000 or $20,000, then yes, unless there's something extraordinary, you can use that to fund your IRA, but always check with your tax professionals to make sure there isn't something going on that over the radio I can't see, because nobody wants to make a mistake with the IRS.
Thank you to Sports Talk 1400 in Norman for production and studio assistance.
You may submit personal finance questions to the Ask Peggy Facebook page and learn more at PeggyDoviak.com. And remember, prosperity is so much more than money.